It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. I have breaking news. Kamala Harris grew up in a middle-class home. But wait, there's more. She was raised by a mother. A mother raised her. Where have we ever heard that before? Well, we've heard it many times from her now in interview after press conference. And not only that, we hear that in her neighborhood, people had front lawns. This is weird, wild stuff. It's also her default answer every time she's asked for specifics. Is the country better off than it was 4 years ago? What are you actually going to do about the economy? Well, I grew up in a middle-class family with a mom, with a lawn, a loving mom, a lawn we're proud of. Meanwhile, as former President Trump answers questions specifically by actually saying something, they're trying to kill him. And is this really a surprise? We keep hearing that the guy's a threat to democracy. We keep hearing that the guy's another Hitler. I don't know where these morons come up with this. Do you realize that Hitler systematically murdered more than 6 million Jews? And there were a lot of other people he murdered. And Trump is the most pro-Israel president we've ever had. Where are they getting this stuff? The Nazis also had infanticide very early in their reign. What does that remind us of? Which party is doing that today? The Nazis were also socialists. Hitler preached redistribution of wealth, pitted rich against the poor. Sound familiar? Nazi means National Socialist Party. But anyway, the point is, if you're calling a guy Hitler, there's some nutwig out there who's thinking, I want to make a name for myself. Well, I'll be a hero. I'll murder Hitler. Steve Doocy of Fox News brought this up at a recent White House press conference, asking White House Press Secretary Karine about this. He said, isn't it time to lower the rhetoric? Quit calling Trump a threat to democracy. She said his question was a threat. His very question. And she said, and we're giving specifics. You know what her specifics were? January 6th, January 6th, January 6th. Yeah, she kept repeating it. January 6th, the day Trump told people to march peacefully, that incites riots. But calling him a threat to democracy and comparing him to Hitler, that doesn't incite anything, does it? The Democrats are protecting democracy. We're not allowed to ask questions. Hillary Clinton is now saying those that post misinformation should be arrested. Well, who decides what misinformation is? They tried to get his name off the ballot. They tried to arrest him. That's not a threat against democracy. Kamala Harris set up a bail fund for the rioters in 2020 saying we need to accept these protests. They're always going to be here. They burned down buildings, including federal buildings. People were murdered. That wasn't a threat to democracy. Okay, now I know what some of you are thinking. Bob, are you calling for people to lower the rhetoric, lower the temperature? Yes, I am. So then I imagine your follow-up question is, Bob, you talk constantly about the First Amendment and protecting freedom of speech. Well, which is it? Are you calling people to lower the temperature of their speech, or do you believe in free speech? My friends, they are not mutually exclusive. No, I do not want to see any law outlawing free speech. Free speech is protected by the First Amendment. Even if somebody says something idiotic, even if somebody who knows nothing about Hitler or the Nazis or Trump compares him to a Nazi, compares him to Hitler, yes, that is protected under the First Amendment. So no, I would never work to outlaw that speech. But because speech is free, I will use my speech to call it out. I am going to call it out. It is irresponsible. It needs to stop, but I'm not calling for it to stop by overthrowing the First Amendment. I can hold both of those things in balance. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm Bob Siegel, joined by columnist and co-host Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, what can I say? What am I going to say?
Your tagline each month when you come on, another slow news week.
Another slow news week. But I think I did manage to scrape together quite enough to get us through. If we don't have enough, we can always talk about...
The weather.
That's right.
Which was all about global warming, of course.
Well, yes.
There's no other thing to say about the weather except that it's warming or the environment's changing.
Yes, we do have weather. So anyway, I just thought you might want to know that Netanyahu recently had a press conference, and they were asking him about the pagers blowing up.
Yeah, they're calling that the modern-day Trojan horse.
Anyway, but
that was positively brilliant.
He had really even more brilliant answer. He said, "You know, I was born in a middle class house, and in those houses, they had lawns, front lawns, and they were proud of their front lawns, Bob."
Yeah, well.
So anyway, just as a note of humor, that has now become like an internet meme.
Yes, it is.
Everybody's now answering. You know, I was born in a middle class house. So in other words. Don't answer the question.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what? They could just elect her president anyway. That's what's scary.
It's possible. I'm still feeling pretty good about Trump, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I do want to mention something that don't normally talk about, but it's actually good news. The Padres won today, San Diego Padres. They are now 90-66. If they win one game against LA starting on Tuesday, they're in the playoffs. And since the All-Star break, they have the best record in Major League Baseball. The best record, 40-17. 40-17 for the last few months, which is a pretty incredible record. So the Padres are doing very well. Plus, not only are they number four in overall attendance in the entire Major League Baseball network of parks, number four, they have the highest percentage of park attendance of any major league team. In other words, given the size of the park, the percentage that's always filled, they have the number one. They're number one. So we actually have really good baseball fans here in San Diego. And I know that San Diego, a lot of times people say, oh, they're not a good sports town. Well, they are a great baseball team, and they have a great set of fans. So it's just a little bit of an aside there.
Okay, well, so, these days we'll take any good news we can get.
Yeah, so that's good. So anyway, I'm Padres, man, so I'm happy about that.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know, but they held their first national conference in England for the Reform Party with Nigel Farage heading it up.
Okay. And I have not been following that very much.
You can find it on YouTube.
And I know some of their internet laws in Europe and the UK are concerning me.
There's a lot. And that's one of the reasons they formed the party. And you probably know that they won 5 seats in Parliament. That was actually forming the party just 3 months before or 8 weeks before, something like that. And they were able to win 5 seats. I would recommend anybody just look under Reform Party, Nigel Farage meeting. 4,000 people showed up. And what they're planning to do is they're planning and running in all the local races, the town councils, school boards, up and down the ticket. And his goal is to take number 10, Downing Street, with the prime minister's spot in 2028. So he's back in it, fully committed. And it's interesting is that he, when he started the party, he started as a corporation, nonprofit corporation, where he held 60% of the shares. Well, he's basically relinquishing those shares now and turning them over to a board and the members now, so it'll be more broadly controlled. But he wanted to be able to move quickly in those 2 to 3 months to get things done. The reason I'm recommending is because the speeches they gave there were inspiring. They were fun. I mean, the Brits have a way of the words. Like
even a Brit that's stupid sounds smart with that accent.
Yeah, no.
What I'm trying to say here.
So the moderator announced, you know, one of the speakers. I don't remember the guys, but he says, this is the thinking woman's man crumpet and tease, you know. And he came on, but anyway, it was fun. So it's fun, but it was also encouraging to see there's people like that over there fighting for many of the same issues. And what they're suffering from, as we are here, is a mass influx of immigrants who really aren't being very good guests, say the least. They're not benefiting the country at this time in England, just as we have the situation here in this country. And the mass
immigration, primarily Muslims over there.
That would be the case. It seems like the rape gangs, the grooming gangs have all been mostly Muslim. Well, they've been all been Muslim.
And I know that a few years ago they were telling schools to stop speaking about the Holocaust because it was offending the new Muslim immigrants. It has not been a good situation.
No. And England's even further along with the woke control than we are, as hard as it is believed. They even have less respect for free speech over than we do. We have much more free speech than England does.
Yeah, right now. Ours is being suspended by a thin thread.
Yeah.
Well, so, ladies and gentlemen, they are no longer Great Britain, just Britain.
Gosh, okay. So something else I wanted to just chat about briefly is the I hate Taylor Swift comment by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I heard that and I groaned. And I think
I did not hear the context of it. I just hope there's something about
the context is that right after the debate,
she
announced herself as a unmarried, childless cat lady. And she had cats in the picture with her. And she said she told people to research the election, but that she said she was going to be voting for Harris.
Yeah.
So that was the response there. And I guess
by ignoring her, he would have made her less prominent.
It would have made her look, but she's already very prominent. Now, Trump has gotten arguments with people who are not prominent before. I mean, people who are really not prominent and elevated them to prominence. Yes. He's not elevating Taylor Swift
she's
to prominence.
She's already popular.
I mean, really, he's not. But the thing that I thought about, and this is what I kind of do with all of Trump's comments. For example, of all the comments he's made over the years, which I thought we probably could have done without, the one that I really dislike the most is that he thinks people that are taken prisoners of war are losers. That one back, you know, even before 2016 when he was talking about John McCain. Remember that one? It was in context to John McCain, who hated Trump's guts, right? Making disparaging comments about him. So he made a disparaging comment. I don't like, but I do want to say this. One of the reasons he has this incredibly loyal base of people is he does. Can you think of anything more unpolitical to do? Less of a politician dude than just announce you hate Taylor Swift.
No, I agree. It's very refreshing that he doesn't talk like a politician and that he talks without a filter. But my point is he already has his base. It would be nice to just, for the next couple of months, month and a half, try to coast in. Because it moves the conversation sideways immediately. People forget his real points, his good points, and that's all they buzz about on the media.
Well, in certain media, that's all they buzz about. But I do think it does shore up his support because a lot of people that are hanging hanging on by a thread to support anybody, saying, hey, there's somebody worth voting for. They're hanging on by a bare thread. And Trump has them. Some of these people are not. They're hanging on by a thread. So they're just looking for an affirmation that he's not just your normal promise.
He's not. When a woman accuses him of harassment, and he gets up at a rally and he says, have you looked at her? I don't think so. That's not what you normally hear from a politician.
No, that's true. I agree. So anyway, but that just was just a quick thought on that.
If I can add my super quick thought, I think it kind of hurt Trump just a little bit, only because if I had to say what age group is probably the most indecisive voters right now here in America, I would have to suspect the Gen Z group who are huge.
They love Taylor.
Yeah. So in that case, I think it might have hurt him slightly. Do I think it's going to hurt him overall as this presidential election comes around? Not really.
The good news is a lot of them probably won't be able to find their way to the polls on election day anyway.
I was going
to
say their Google Maps are out, and like, gosh darn it, I can't. Oh well.
I did see a poll that showed that her comments made 8% of the people that heard it more likely to vote for Harris and 22% less likely.
Yes, but that was her comment before Trump made his comment in return. Does the poll reflect?
I don't know that. I'm just saying, but in general, Trump's... I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to make a big difference. It just makes me think that
it's a strange mess because oftentimes he gets quoted out of context and people put words in his mouth that he didn't even say. And then there's times when he really says stuff. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
So back to what you already referred to, the 3,000 beepers, pagers blowing up.
Yes.
They were sold to Hezbollah by a shell company set up.
And this was in the works a couple of years ago.
It took a while. And so they basically completely infiltrated Hezbollah's supply chain. They sold them there. And the thing I just want to put this in the context to, first of all, the beepers go off. Then the people attending, initially it was only 8 people killed, then eventually 12 people died. But there was very, very minute amounts of explosives in these beepers.
They were trying to essentially just get the leaders of this terrorist.
Get the leaders and damage, and also to just create fear and uncertainty and doubt.
Yeah, you should think they'd think twice now.
And then they showed up to a funeral for some of the people who got killed by the pagers, and then the walkie-talkies they were using blew up.
Oh my God.
And they were
I shouldn't be laughing, but I think this was so ingenious.
So
these are the heads of terrorist organizations.
Then the leaders got together to discuss the situation with the communication devices. And Israel did an airstrike on an 8-story building.
Oh my gosh.
And killed one of the leaders. Akali, I believe his name was. He's one of the guys that did the attack on our barracks in Beirut.
Well, I'm wondering, when are these guys going to quit? I think their only hope is that, well, maybe Kamala will be elected president.
The reason I mentioned the airstrike is that people are like, oh my gosh, there could have been children nearby. The innocent are whining, and you're hearing it in the media now about these attacks. Well, I agree they were brilliant, but I will argue that the collateral damage from these types of attacks is far less than a precision strike on an 8-story building where you take down the building.
And certainly different than a planned attack on October the 7th.
Well, yeah,
where
there's no comparison.
Where they went in there to deliberately murder women and children.
So between the attacks, something between 30 and 40 people were killed between the pager attacks and the walkie-talkie attacks. And that's after out of 3,500. And most of the injuries, from what I could tell, were minor. In other words, minor injuries if you were near the person. And some of the injuries they took were pretty bad. I mean, listen, you're carrying a pager where you're carrying the pager. And being a guy, I could sit there and kind of wince thinking about the kind of injuries you could suffer.
Yes.
Yeah, but if they had tried to get that many people using precision airstrikes, remember when a precision airstrike hits plus or minus 5 meters, the target it wants to hit, there's still a bomb that goes off.
Yeah.
It's still going to create collateral damage. So these were
It's as surgical as an attack as you're
going to get, but it's still a bomb.
Yeah.
Or a missile.
Yeah.
So I do think that these...
No, but I mean these pagers are even more...
They're very surgical. By doing this, if they had tried to kill these people on any other method, even a bullet from a high-powered military rifle can go through somebody and kill, go through another person and go through another person. They can go through two people.
So they heard that their cell phones were compromised, so they switched to pagers, and then that was a problem. Then they switched to walkie-talkie. Well, what on earth are they going to switch to next?
Apparently,
one of those Fred Flintstone shells that you hold up to
Afraid to use baby monitors now. It has created so much fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It really has disrupted Hezbollah.
Well, maybe they should consider that they wouldn't be terrorists anymore.
So anyway, it was originally thought to be a Taiwan company, but they said, no, we just licensed the name to a Hungarian company. And now the theory is that the shell company, the Assad or whatever agency from Israel, set up a shell company and that they were literally the suppliers. Hezbollah paid for these pagers. They paid Israel for these pagers. They paid Israel for these walkie-talkies.
I don't know what they paid Israel, but it was too much.
Yeah, I guess so. Even if they paid less, it still wouldn't have been a very good deal, I think.
I don't think so.
Okay, so anyway, that's enough on that. But my point was, less innocent people were killed or injured because they attacked this
but
way.
But that's not otherwise. How the leftist anti-Semites right. are going to spin it, of course.
Yeah, so that's kind of the point of that one there. So I guess we could talk about something that's been talked about, and I want to get on, the horse is almost dead, but I'm going to beat it a bit more. Beating this dead horse, the final analysis on the debate, because I've been thinking about the debate, analyzing it, and I think my position has evolved a bit since I first thought about it.
Every time he does a debate, they try to assassinate him about a week later. Are you seeing a pattern here?
So anyway, you heard that they're now talking about, we want Trump to do a debate on another hostile network, CNN.com. And he's saying no. And I think he should say no at this point.
I think at this point he should say we do it on Fox or we don't do it at all. And of course, there's no way on earth she will agree to do it on Fox. It's not
exactly. So that would be a good rebuttal. He should not do it on CNN.com. But
he already did it on CNN.
Right, with Biden. And I'll say this. Trump did obviously annihilate Biden in that debate. But Biden
helped him by being Biden.
Well, Biden, I think there's a lot of people that would kill Biden in that debate. I'll just be honest. It didn't take Trump to do it. And I do think Trump does many things well in debating. But the Harris debate, I've come to the conclusion that Trump won the debate both in style and substance.
Okay,
both.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Well, as I was saying, I think there's sort of, we have this bifurcation where we look at it and go, well, I like the substance of what the person said, but the other person looked calm and rational and they seemed superior and things like that. But I'm looking back at the debate, you had Harris looking smug, and she was...
Well, all she memorized was how to bait him and get under his skin. That's all she memorized.
And she seemed like she was not as emotional as Trump, because Trump did get passionate. And I thought about that, and I thought about the country, and I thought, so I'm looking here at people talking about the state of the country there. Who looked more like your typical politician in that debate?
Oh, well, Trump never looks like a typical politician.
Okay, so that's one. So there, that's a win for Trump. So his demeanor, and I mentioned this to you before and we discussed it, his demeanor was passionate, concerned, and angry.
And you feel that matches the times we're living. I think that matches
the way the electorate feels right now about what's happening in the country. And then you get down to the idea. So style-wise, I think Trump wins the debate because his demeanor matched what the people that weren't there just to answer polls from CNN to say they think that Harris won.
Well, I hope a lot of people perceive it that way. Certainly on points and on arguments and on facts, he did win. It's too bad that people pay more attention to style.
And then there's the memorable stuff that happened in the debate. Sure, people now
he nailed her on that abortion question. She refused to answer. That's right. At the one point where she got very defensive.
Well, then what about the thing where she kept trying to bring up, oh, then we have all these people that resigned from your administration or said bad things about this, said that you were a threat. And then he says, well, I fired them. And what I found is when I fire people, they say bad things about me. And you never fired anybody. What happened in Afghanistan with this debacle?
Maybe she doesn't fire people, but how many people from her cabinet and other teams have quit because they find her impossible to work with?
So once again, I say that exchange, Trump won that handily. He won the foreign policies point of it. I think he said the abortion thing. And then his closing statement was much better. So all that Kamala got out of this thing in terms of substance, which wasn't really substance, is that she was born middle class and that she had a mom. But she
And when you needle Trump and say that people fall asleep during his debates and leave early, you know that's going to get a reaction from it. That was guaranteed. And of course, it's not true. He did have a good comeback. Though, you have to have people bust in for your rallies.
So look, I'm just going to say unequivocally that Trump won the debate. And the other thing that you already mentioned, I think, in your previous show was...
It wasn't a real debate. Anyway.
It wasn't a real debate. But also the CNN poll itself, which is the poll that said that Trump lost, showed him gaining on the question of the economy by 2 points in terms of who the people who watched the debate thought could do a better job in the economy. So it was not a win for Harris. It was a win for Trump. And remember the C-SPAN poll, which showed 73.9% thought Trump won versus 26.1% for Harris. So that brings us to the question of the post-debate polling. And I mentioned this term before, but I think I want to make sure that I'm explaining it. It's the term response bias. And it's a term that pollsters use, and people have done massive studies on it. And what they've shown is that it used to be believed that debates could change the course of a race. Like if somebody did well in the debate, all of a sudden things are changed around it. What they found, though, is people would get a temporary bump, but it wasn't actually a bump in real base support. What it was is a bump because the people that were excited by the debate were more likely to pick up the phone to do the poll, more likely to respond to the text message asking them to tell them how they're going to vote. So in other words, what you ended up doing is surveying a different group of people that self-selected to answer the polling.
And yet those people would have voted for that same person anyway even if they hadn't been.
But before the event that got them excited, they may have been more likely to just sort of be back in the general population, not picking up the poll. But when something got them excited, like they said, hey, I didn't hear too much word salad from Kamala Harris or whatever. What is it, Bob?
It's Kamala, but I've said it both ways, and frankly, I don't care.
Okay, well, Kamala Harris, she didn't have too much word salad, so that was enough to get them excited. So they were the ones more likely. You know, it takes sometimes like 1,000 calls to get 20 answers. So if you have people now suddenly more eager that we're going to vote for anyway, picking up the phone, it does change. So you have this massive response bias, and any pollster that works in the business knows it's existed, but they have not been compensating for it. The reason they don't compensate for it is because it shows what they want to show. And these are the organizations that consistently have underestimated Donald Trump support or consistently underestimated Republican support and overestimated Democrat support. So if you actually have a valid polling method, you will have a 50% overestimating Republicans, 50% overestimating Democrats. But they don't do this. These are the kind of pollsters that tweak the polls to show pro-Democrat, pro-Harris type stuff. So that's just part of what I wanted to say on what's going on here. Another aspect that we can talk about is some of the polls that are really good polls, and we can talk about when we get back, such as Atlas Intel and Rasmussen.
Okay, we will do that. We will be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. You know, I was just thinking, if they at least put some Paul Newman salad dressing on one of her word salads, they might be a little more palatable.
Mmm, tasty.
Or Caesar, or ranch.
Okay.
Anything would help.
But hold the croutons.
Oh, yes. And yes. So one of the poll that was actually the most accurate in terms of the 2020 election, in terms of predicting general election results, was Atlas Intel. And they've consistently shown for some time Trump ahead of Harris. And they did not show any bumps or hardly was barely affected by any of the events. Even the assassination attempts, where some polls showed a big bump for Trump, and they've been consistently showing Trump leading Harris for well over a month now. And right now they're showing 50.9% for Trump and 48% for Harris. So very stable poll. Rasmussen Reports, which polls more than just about
anybody. They're one of the most accurate.
And by the way, when they make mistakes, they have a tendency to make mistakes more on the Democrat side, favoring the Democrats. That's been their history. They are now showing 49% for Trump, 47% for Harris. So
that's national or the battleground?
That's the national.
Okay.
Now, in the battleground states, there you have stuff all over the place. But what I can say is that if you look at the 2024 battleground state polls and you go pollster by pollster, then you compare them to where they were at roughly the same time in 2020, Trump is ahead of no matter what they do, they can't do it. He's doing much better relative to Harris than he was to Biden by 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points in many cases. So
is he ahead in any of the battleground states? I know he's doing better than he did against Biden.
Well, he is ahead with some of the pollsters, like the Atlas Intel showed him ahead.
And how about Pennsylvania? I know that's the big one.
Well, Pennsylvania shows that it's being tied, and that's a pollster that had Trump losing. So when a pollster that shows Trump losing badly to Biden in 2020 now shows him the tied, that means Trump's winning, if you understand what I'm saying.
And it means he's doing much better than the poll says, because
right.
He polls. Also, I understand Virginia now may be in play.
Yeah, Virginia may be in play for sure. For example, though, Emerson, which is no friend of Trump, has Trump leading Harris in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Arizona. So there's an example. That is dramatically different. And then I do want to talk a little bit about Quinnipiac, because Quinnipiac and Morning Consult are the two polls that came out and showed this big bump for Harris. And these are two of the worst polls from 2020. They consistently have grotesquely underestimated Trump's support. So let's just take a look at Quinnipiac. So they actually showed their final poll for Florida in 2020 was showing Biden 52, Trump 45. And Trump won 51.2 to Biden 47.8. So that's like a 8-point swing there. So these are the kind of polls that are showing these bumps, which are frankly based upon the response bias. Not only the response bias, but the way they're doing the polling apparently is tweaked in such a way to always favor Harris. Or maybe they just don't know how to reach the average Trump voter. I don't know what it is. But bottom line is they've been biased against Trump for years now. And you add the response bias, and that's what the results you're getting there. You know, Quinnipiac is one of them. And Morning Consult is the same situation. So they had Biden, they didn't do as many polls, but they had Biden winning 2020 by 8 points, and the actual margin was like 3.7. So they were way off. That's a big miss. Florida, they also had Biden winning, 52 to 45 in Florida.
In 2020?
Yeah, in 2020. And
Ohio, that sure didn't happen.
In Ohio, which Trump easily won, they had Biden winning 49-47. But the one that's the mother of all these polls, I think, is the ABC Washington Post poll in September 2028 polling had Wisconsin, had Biden beating Trump by 17 points in Wisconsin in 2020. Now they have him behind Harris winning 51-47. So there they overestimated by 17 points, and today they just have Harris with a 4-point lead. So I'm just going to say that these polls, I guess they're useful in the sense that if you compare them to past polls, you can go to say, look at the differential and say, wow, Trump is doing better than he was in 2020 or in 2016. And let's also take into account that all the polling I've seen shows Trump is blowing. He did better with the black Americans, black voters in 2020 than they did in 2016. They are now showing him to do better with like 25.6% of black voters under age 50 males voting for Trump. Realistically, looking at 15-20% black vote in that range across all the ages and the gender in there. Hispanic votes going from 31% in 2020 to up to some polling showing up to 42%. So these are all numbers that just have not seen. Young voters are also swinging over to Trump too in bigger numbers than they were before. So it's a gaslighting exercise, these polling that we're seeing right now from these left-wing, very biased polling, and the debate gave them an excuse to show it a jump. Because without an event like that, right, we had this debate, she didn't lose her cool, she didn't have word salad, and that gives us a somebody could point to say, look what happened. And also the response bias was there. And unless they purposely compensate for the response bias, it's going to show up in their polling. So that's what I think is going on. Now, the other line of thinking is that maybe this Richard Barris, who is a very good pollster, thinks that Trump shouldn't have participated at all, because from his line of thinking is by participating, he gave them an event, they could use it as an excuse to do gaslighting and bump up the poll results, which might be self-fulfilling, because let's say you're a donor and you see all these polls, you're thinking that, hey, I can now donate. I didn't want to donate to Biden because we were losing cause, but with Harris. And so we have seen a massive influx of fundraising coming in.
Well, maybe he's taken that advice belatedly by refusing to do a final debate.
But I think I can help counter that, which some people have been discouraged by. When we come back, I can put that in perspective.
Okay, we'll be right back for one more segment with Mike Friedenberg.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. One more segment with Mike Friedenberg.
I did want to mention a little bit about the fundraising, because people are going to be reading about this. You're going to see it on all the news. Wow, Harris is raising tons of money, and she is raising a lot of money.
Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep and people like that are sending in donations.
And also, they're going to get into small donors, too. They're getting small donors. And to put some context into this, is Trump was destroying Biden in fundraising for month after month after month. And in The month of July, Trump raised like $300 million.
So a lot of that money was set on then.
Right.
And it's being unleashed
then now. Then you remember after he was convicted in one of the New York courts, massive fundraising came in. So heading into where they deposed Biden and put Harris in, my theory is that there was some pent-up Democrat money there. Big donors and small donors. Even if you were only a relatively small donor, you're sitting there looking at Biden and just thinking, why invest? Right? If you had half a brain, you're thinking there's no way. And along comes Harris. She can walk. She doesn't stumble. She doesn't look like a zombie. And everybody's praising her and you get excited. So you send your money in. So the money that you were going to send into Biden is now being sent in. Same with the big donors. So there is going to be a lot of money coming in. So we're going to see is things are going to reset to what's more normal for the fundraising cycle. Trump was beating Biden and the Democrats up to this point. You're going to see this big surge of money coming in for the Democrats. It's going to settle down a bit. Trump's going to accelerate a bit. And we're going to come back to a pretty typical scenario where the Democrats typically raise more money than the Republicans. However, it's not going to be these huge disproportionate numbers you're seeing right now, like ABC News. Harris fundraising triples Trump in August. They raised $257 million versus $85 million for the RNC. You're going to see these kind of numbers tossed around. I would say just the context is that Trump was outraising and the Republicans were outraising the Democrats up to this point. It's going to get back to be more even. There's going to be a surge of that pent-up money that people are saying, yeah, it looks like at least it's a race now, right? And that's what we're going to see there. So that's what I'm just going to say about the fundraising.
Well, Mike, are you prepared to make a prediction or do you want to wait till the next time you come on, which will probably be your last time before the election?
Right now.
You want to make a call?
I believe that Trump's going to win this race. I believe it. Okay, here's something. Here's one poll I want to talk about here. And that was, you heard that the Teamsters did not endorse Kamala Harris.
Yes, and then 60% of them wanted Trump, but the heads of the Teamster Union still wouldn't endorse Trump.
And two separate polls. One was the electronic poll that was 59.8 or something like that percent supported Trump versus 32% for Kamala Harris. And then there was another poll that was almost identical results, like 58% for Trump. And that was done by phone for the Teamsters. So 1.5 million Teamsters were surveyed on this. And what's interesting is in a previous poll, it was 42% Biden, 34% Trump. Now, they didn't have a majority, by the way. There was no majority for Biden. But the Teamsters liked Biden a whole lot more than liked Harris. So the reason I'm bringing this up right now is because that goes into my prediction. These are blue-collar jobs, working-class jobs. The Teamsters,
and
they're
Joseph
truckers.
Scranton, man.
And he's kept reminding us. And for whatever reason, however fallacious as it was, he had the perception that he was more of a blue-collar guy. Well, Kamala Harris does not have that.
Even though she grew up with a front lawn?
She had a front lawn, but she grew up. She's a liberal left-wing senator from California. California is viewed by the rest of the nation as being kind of a crazy place.
Well, as a Californian, I want to say they're right.
Okay, so if you factor that in and you take a look at the states like Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, all the states where you have this white working class vote, to me, that is a very nice temperature, taking the temperature where these voters are at, and to say she may do better with blue states than Biden. Blue state voters, Democrats are just sitting there saying, what's the point of voting? She can't win. Are now maybe going to get out and vote for her. But in the red states, the swing states, Biden was actually better in those states, even as bad as he was, than she is going to be in those states. She does not connect up with the blue-collar working-class man of any sort, whether they're black or Hispanic or white or whatever. She does not connect with them. So I totally do believe that she is going to lose votes relative to what Biden would have gotten in those states. And I think that Teamster poll was sort of an indicator. Well, not sort of an indicator. Is an indicator of that. By the way, I've got to get out of the habit of saying sort of or kind of. It's a bad habit there.
Well, here's why I hope you're right, Mike, because I want to listen to the Democrats complain for the next 4 years that Trump stole the election so that we can call them election deniers and insurrectionists.
Yes.
Because I think that'll be fun. And I have no doubt that they will refuse to accept the election results if he wins. I have zero doubt.
Well, I hope that's not true. But I just did something back to the response by Mark David Harris. Political consulting firm Cold Spark says they're seeing an historic response bias in surveys that is setting the table for a large polling miss this fall. So I agree with him. So that goes to me predicting Trump.
And you do believe that the election integrity will be better this time? Can you speak to that a little bit?
I think there's a lot more election integrity efforts going on than there was before. They have made progress.
Is there integrity in the battleground states? That's what's really crucial.
They have made some improvements in the battleground states like Georgia. They have made some modest improvements.
Any in Pennsylvania?
A little bit in Pennsylvania, but not at those. But the
not
thing
as
is,
much as we'd want to see.
Not as much we'd want to see. However, I do truly believe that the RNC has a much more aggressive, much more competent, much more savvy election integrity team.
Well, and the word COVID was intimidating last time. You can't stand that close and watch him as a poll watcher because of COVID.
Right, and we're not.
We're just thinking of everybody's safety.
Right. So I do believe that it's going to be a much better, much more accountability. We have seen some improvements there. For example, Arizona. Arizona now is a plus 5 or 6 Republican state. It's 2 to 3 points more Republican now than it was in 2020.
The Secretary of State is going to be the same person
And also, unfortunately, the county recorder, forget the guy's name, Richter or something like that. Anyway,
well,
he's still there.
He's still there,
but they have a lot more scrutiny
on there.
Maybe
they won't think they can get away with it this time.
And I do think that Trump's going to win. By the way, I did see you mentioned the Gutfeld thing.
That was wonderful. If you get a chance to go to YouTube or FoxNews.com, go watch Trump on the Greg Gutfeld show.
I will say that that was one of the best times I've seen in, you know, talking about letting your hair down and being relaxed. I saw some of the most genuine smiles from Donald Trump on there that I've seen.
And he even charmed Kat Timp, and she doesn't like him very much, but she seemed enamored with
him. Yeah, and what was really sweet is that Tyrus, who is...
gave him that wrestling award,
Trump's been involved with not only the fight game for many, many years, but also was involved with the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
So that was a very, very nice thing.
And I think after all he's been through and the kind of week he'd had, that really warmed his heart.
And then something just to end on a humorous note is that he did a rally in Long Island. And in the rally, he was talking about
15,000 people.
Right. He basically was talking about the importance of getting out the vote. And he just went into this little routine and he says, I really need you to get out the vote. And I just can't have you guys sitting on the couch. So he says, Harry, get your fat ASS off the couch there. Get out and vote. You know, and it was very humorous, and the crowd was roaring, was laughter. It was
funny. Something if you actually took New York.
But it's true. You do need to get, if you're sitting on the couch, you're blue collar worker, you kind of think the political process doesn't work for you anymore. Well, Trump really did change things. When he was in office, working class people for the first time in 30 years saw real wage growth. Instead of just the rich people or the upper middle class seeing wage growth, you saw the working class people gain in real wages under Trump. And under Biden, they've lost 2 to 3%. So there is reasons for everybody to get out and vote. Blacks, Americans saw their wages go up. Hispanic Americans saw their wages go up.
Jewish people have been abandoned by the Democratic Party. They should vote for Trump.
Well, I will say this is, I understand that there may be some superficial things that they're worried about, but if you think about the conservatives and voting for a conservative, it is the conservatives that are standing up for Israel. It is conservatives that are standing against anti-Semitism. Fraternity Brothers were Republicans that protected the American flag against all the anti-Semites and the pro-Hamas people.
Right.
So anyway, I just say that I do think that the mood of the country, despite this gaslighting by the polling and the media, the mood of the country is they're going to vote for Trump. And I don't think they have enough cheating power in place to stop that.
Okay, well, we sure hope you're right, Mike. We'll probably have you on at least one more time before the election. You've been listening to The Bob Siegel Show.